and open them in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. These 3 weeks that are leading up to Resurrection Sunday, I want to focus on three aspects of Christ Himself. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus, the Lamb of God. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. And tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. And you are to determine the amount of the lamb needed in accordance with which each person would eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats, and take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. And do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And on the same night I will pass through Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." Father, I come to you this morning and I thank you for the incredible picture in your word of the Passover, over the atonement, over the blood. Father, your word is so clear and beautiful and picturesque for us, because many times we just need a picture, and you've drawn it for us through your word today. I pray, Father, that as we take a look at Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was crucified before the world even began, according to your word, he was purposefully set aside for this specific time and this specific day. And Lord, to understand that and comprehend it is sometimes beyond what we can even think or imagine. And yet, Father, you have made it plain for us here today through your word. And you will continue to do so, because, Father, it is the cornerstone of our belief. It is the rock on which we build. It is the blood of Jesus that covers our sins. And we thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says this: "Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." I want us to take a look this morning at Jesus from a different perspective, maybe. We think of Jesus, a lot of times we think of Jesus who came and he walked the earth. He taught disciples for 3.5 years. He did miracles. He did amazing things. He was a visible image of the invisible God for us. In every way, Jesus was that picture that we needed to see. A lot of times we don't believe until we see it. But many times God wants us to believe so that we will see it. And so He sent His only Son. He sent His only Son with a purpose. In fact, Jesus proclaimed His purpose when He came. He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are lost." That covers everybody, by the way. It doesn't cover a select few. It covers everyone. And Jesus said it with His own lips. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. But now, the ministry days of Jesus is coming to an end. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But before we get to Resurrection Sunday, there had to be a couple of things happen. A couple of very important things to happen in the life of Christ. There was a day, according to Exodus that we just read, that the people were to celebrate every year. The people were to follow every year. And it was called Lamb Selection Day. And on that day, they were to select a lamb without blemish, without defect. And they would bring that lamb into the home. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I kind of get attached to animals. Do you? Now, sometimes there's animals I don't get so attached to. But most of the time, I get attached to animals. And, you know, I love animals. Even though they can be frustrating. Even though they can try to teach you patience. You just love your animals, right? And they become a part of the family. And you can just imagine what it was like for these families that had children in the family. And they had this lamb. They have a lamb that comes into their house now. And they get to take care of this lamb. But only for a few days. And then the father says to the children, we have to sacrifice this lamb. Now, I don't know about you. Now, there are some days that I probably would want to sacrifice my animal. But for the most part, I love my animal. And, to be connected and love them so much. But this is what God had told them to do. So, in doing so, the Scripture says that God will come, and every home that is covered with the blood, He will pass over them. But the reason that He's coming is to bring destruction to the gods of Egypt. Now, have you ever thought about the gods of Egypt? Sometime you ought to do a little study on the 10 major gods of Egypt. And not so that you can worship them because they're little g gods. They're not real. But Egypt thought they were real. And every single one of them were taking a small portion of God and worshiping this little g god, the god of the air, the god of the crops, the god of water, the Nile. And every little thing that they would start to worship, God says, I'm coming to show that I am more powerful than their little gods. And when I do come, and your house is covered with the blood, I'll pass over. But if the house is not covered by the blood of the Lamb, there will be death of every firstborn in that house. Each plague was a show of God's power over all of the gods of Egypt. And in fact, in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, it says this, then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now, it isn't that God loves the people of Israel more than He loves the people of Egypt. God loves everyone. God has made everyone for a reason and a purpose. But what has happened is that the people of Egypt would not serve God. And so God says, I'll make a distinction. I want everybody to see this. I want everybody to experience this. I want everybody to know this, that I am God. I mean, did you see that in Scripture? I am the Lord. And so the selection of the lamb was first of all to show the plagues of Egypt were against the little gods of Egypt. The plan of God. Now, here's the plan. A lamb was to be selected by each family 4 days before the Passover. So Jesus came from Bethany, by the way, the scripture tells us. From Bethany, which if you're in Jerusalem, and I'm facing south because this is how we can describe it to you. You're in Jerusalem. Down to the east is the Kidron Valley. Now the Kidron Valley was a very deep valley that came off of the bluff of the side of Jerusalem, and then it would gradually head back up through the Garden of Gethsemane all the way up to the very top of the Mount of Olives. On the other side of the Mount of Olives, just as you start to go down, is a place called Bethany, a little town there. Now the scripture says Jesus was there visiting with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who, by the way, was alive again. Isn't that an amazing picture? So he's visiting with them, but he says, now I got to go to the Mount of Olives right now. Why do you have to go to the Mount of Olives? Well, today is Lamb Selection Day. And all the people that are in Israel now to celebrate the Passover are there bringing their lambs to the priests who are on the Mount of Olives, checking out their lambs, making sure that they're lambs without defect. And guess who shows up? Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus shows up on Lamb Selection Day when the priests and the people are selecting their lambs to be slaughtered on the Passover. He could have shown up the day before. He could have shown up a couple days later. But he shows up on the Lamb Selection Day. Why? Because he's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. On the 10th of Nisan, as the Scripture tells us, that day is set aside for the Lamb Selection Day. By the way, the Josephus tells us the lambs sacrificed on the Passover is estimated typically to be about 250,000 lambs, a quarter of a million lambs, every year on Passover. Picture the blood that's flowing from the temple on that day. How many lambs does it take to cover the sins of the people? One. But they didn't understand that yet. And many of them still do not understand that. This Sunday of Selection Day was critical for forgiveness. They had 4 days to inspect the lambs so that no blemish was found in them. Now, right after Jesus appears on Lamb Selection Day, he makes his way on into Jerusalem. But before he does that, the scripture says that he looks over the city of Jerusalem and he begins to weep. He begins to weep because he realizes that they won't receive him as the Lamb. All they're concerned with is their little lambs, trying to make sure that there's no blemish found on them. But it's interesting that Jesus then was among the people every day in Jerusalem. The scripture says he was in the temple every day. And the Pharisees began testing him, began asking him questions, began trying to see if there was any blemish in Jesus. Trying to trap him, trying to make him say something that they could use against him. The Lamb of God was being tested, just like all the other lambs. Pilate even said, "I find no fault in him." Now this was the exact language that the priest would use when someone would bring their lamb to him to look at and say, is this lamb worthy to be slain? And he would check it out. And when he was done checking it out, he would say, I find no fault in him. The exact words. Now, isn't that amazing? What did Pilate say? I find no fault in him. And everybody there knew what that meant. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Passover Lamb. He is the one who has been crucified before the beginning of this world. We then see this procession of God coming into Jerusalem. Jesus enters Jerusalem on that day. He's riding the colt of a donkey. It's interesting that Zechariah, hundreds of years ago, by the inspiration of God, in chapter 9, verse 9, says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Just one of the hundreds of different verses that were fulfillments of Scripture about Jesus. Psalm chapter 118, verses 25 and 27 through 27. "Lord, save us." They began to shout out, "Hosanna." "Lord, grant us success. Save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar." And that's exactly what happened. Now, when you talk about the altar, it says the horns of the altar. When we went through our study through the tabernacle, this is one of the things we talked about. The horns on the altar are called the horns of salvation. The horns of salvation. Do you see the picture here? The horns of the altar, the horns of salvation, the only salvation for Israel, and by the way, the only salvation for this world, is through the Lamb of God. Not through a lamb. It's through the Lamb of God. And so Jesus coming into Jerusalem the way He did, and where He ended up, was no coincidence at all. It was a perfect plan of God in the first place. So that people had the opportunity, if they wanted to believe, to believe. The problem is that so many of the people that were there in Jerusalem that day were so caught up in the religion of God, they missed the relationship that God wanted to have with them. And it hasn't changed. There are so many people in this world who are so caught up in religion that they've missed God. They've missed God. They think that if they just do enough of the stuff that they're supposed to do, they'll be okay. But they won't. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." The name of Jesus. Why? Because He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. That's why, by the way, when John the Baptist was out in the wilderness preaching repentance and he saw Jesus for the very first time, God put it on his heart to say this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The people began to cry out, "Hosanna, deliver us, save us." They wanted out from under the rule of the Romans. They thought God was going to give them a king and make Israel a nation again, instead of being slaves to the Roman Empire. And that's what many people that day wanted more than anything. They wanted to be free from Rome. But instead, Jesus was offering freedom from sin. Which, by the way, just as Egypt in Scripture was always a picture of Rome, of sin, so was Rome. And Jesus had told His disciples not much earlier in John chapter 14, He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one's going to come to the Father except through me." Why? Because He's the Lamb of God. He's the only sacrifice that's worthy. This is why Jesus looked upon Jerusalem that day and He wept. The Scripture says that as He was looking at Jerusalem, He began to weep. Now the word weep here literally means He began sobbing. And Luke 19:41 through 44 is a prophetic word to the nation of Israel. As He approached, He saw the city and He wept over it. And He said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, encircle you, hem you up on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus began to weep because He cared so much for the people that were there. And as He goes into Jerusalem, He makes His way to the temple. And it's interesting that when He gets to the temple, the very first thing He does is He drives out all the sellers that are ripping people off. He drives them out and He says, this house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, what does that mean, a house of prayer? Robbie shared with us yesterday, I love this part, in men's breakfast. House of prayer. The word prayer doesn't necessarily just mean coming and listing off all your list to God. Prayer means being in God's presence. So that's what the house of God ought to be. Being in God's presence. Now you might say, oh, so I have to come here? No. You're the house of God. God's already said you are His temples that He's now living in. Prayer is being in God's presence. That's why when Paul said, pray without ceasing, means to be in that place, the presence of God, continuously. Be in His presence. When you're in God's presence and you're tempted to do something that is not of God, you got to leave God's presence to do it. Don't you? So Jesus didn't come and drive the people out because He was mad that they were making a profit off of God. He drove them out because that place was supposed to be set aside for God's presence. So Jesus was there on Lamb Selection Day because He's the Lamb. I want you to see, secondly, the salvation of the Lamb. The Scripture says that they were to take that lamb and to kill it and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts and on the lintels of their doors. Why? To show that they were covered. They're covered. You ever had insurance that didn't cover you? Oh, yeah, you have insurance, but that's not covered. If you'll read the fine print on the back of page 612, paragraph 9, section 3, you'll notice that that is not covered. Listen, folks, the blood of Jesus Christ covers the sins of the world. It covers the sins of the world. The blood on the doorpost was the picture of this atonement or covering over the family so that they would not receive what they deserved. Aren't you glad you don't receive what you deserve? I am. Romans chapter 3, Verse 25 says this, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. Not because you're chosen, not because you have to receive Him. Folks, why do people jump on stuff like that? It's a ploy of the evil one and it's heresy. I'm telling you, God's Word says to be received by faith. And He did this to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance, He left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. God is saying, listen, I'm doing this because I love you so much. And I want to cover your sins by the precious, innocent, perfect blood of Jesus Christ, my Son. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why did Jesus have to die? That's why. He had to die to cover our sins with His blood. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets, Jesus says. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, every time you see the word therefore, ask what it's there for. Because of what He just said. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish any of God's law. I came to fulfill it. John chapter 3. We know verse 16 very well. But look at what 17 says. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus came on Lamb Selection Day because He's the Lamb of God. And because of His blood, we are covered. Because of His blood, we are also cleansed, the Scripture tells us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, what? Purifies us from all sin. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We are made clean instead of unclean. Now I want to stop for just a second and remind you of what that word unclean meant to the Israelites. The people that had leprosy had to walk around constantly saying, unclean, unclean, don't get close to me. If you get close to me, you might catch what I've got. Folks, every single one of us was unclean without Christ. We had the sin of leprosy in our life because we chose to do what we wanted to do rather than what God demands. We were selfish in our nature. We had chosen our own way. But God sent His one and only Son, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, one of my very favorite passages simply says this, God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become all sin for us, so that in Him we might be made the righteousness of God. How can we be made right? Not by doing good, not by going to vacation Bible school, not by tithing, not by reading God's Word every year. We can't be made righteous in and of ourselves. The only righteousness that's even possible had to come from God Himself. Jesus, the Lamb of God, shedding His blood that cleansed us. And lastly this morning, because of His blood, we are a part of His new covenant. Jesus sat down with His disciples on the day of Passover. We're going to talk a little bit about this next week. But this is just a little a teaser. He sat down with His disciples and He began to share with them the new covenant that was in His what? In His blood. This is a new covenant I'm making in My blood. All the covenants that were made originally by taking animals and cutting them in half and laying them on one side of a ditch or the other and allowing the blood to flow down into the ditch. And then both parties would walk through that trench and allow the blood to stain their feet. And what they were saying is, I'll keep my part of the covenant and you keep your part of the covenant. And if we do that, everything's great. But if one of us defaults on it, this is what should happen to us. We should be cut in half and our blood should be shed. Guess what? We didn't keep the part of our covenant. We've broken God's law. Jesus said, I'm making a new covenant, but it's through My blood. And because you can't do this, I'll do it for you. I will shed My perfect blood. I will shed My life for you if you'll receive it. Not just for Israel, but for all people. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. By the way, this was the third cup in the Passover, which is the cup of salvation. Jesus says, when you take this cup, it's a reminder of the new covenant I'm making with anyone who will receive forgiveness through the blood. And so when we do the Lord's Supper together, which we're going to do next Sunday, when we do the Lord's Supper, it's not just so that we can have grape juice and a piece of cracker. It's a reminder that His Lamb came and was broken for us, and He shed His blood to cover us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have you received Him? I remember as a young kid, there were a couple of things that just I got really excited about. Christmas and my birthday. And you know why? Because I'd get gifts. They weren't always great, but just the fun of it was good. And I didn't know what was on the inside until I opened it up. It was always exciting. But can you imagine, as a little kid, you walk into the living room on Christmas morning and you see the tree and all these packages underneath it, and you notice that your name are on quite a few of them. And then when your parents come in and say, you ready to open presents? You go, no, I don't want any. But we bought them for you. No, I don't want them. Guess how many times that's happened? Never. Never. What, man, they tear into them, man. I would tear into those boxes. So excited about what might be on the inside. How foolish it would have been for me to say, nah, I don't want them. God brought the greatest gift ever. for you and for me. His one and only Son. The Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He says, I'm giving this to you. And you would walk away and say, I don't want it. I don't want it. But many there will be on that day. Say, Lord, wait a minute. We did all kinds of stuff. We went to church. We went to the hospitals. We visited people in jail. We did all these things. And He'll look at them and say, depart from me. I don't have a relationship with you. I don't know you. You've got to choose to receive Jesus. It's your choice. Nobody can make you do it. Nobody can baptize you into the church as a little baby and make you saved. It doesn't work like that. You have a choice. Will you receive the Lamb of God? It's up to you. Many of you have already made that choice. Maybe some of you have not. But let me tell you this, folks. God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrificial lamb so that His blood could cover you and so that He wouldn't overlook your sins because they'd been paid for by His own Son on the cross. That's how much God loves you. Let's pray. Father, I come to You this morning.